Somewhere in the Motiverse, the clock strikes midnight, and a chill wind howls through the digital graveyard. In the shadows they lurk, not ghosts or ghouls, but bugs. Those sneaky code critters that haunt our software. But fear not, brave testers, quality engineering professionals, and quality leaders. Today, we arm ourselves with knowledge, the ultimate weapon against these frightful flaws. So gather round, if you dare, for an episode of spine-tingling stories and monstrous methodologies. Will you face your fears, or will you succumb to the creeping chaos? It's time to choose, twig or treat. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Simon Tomes, community lead at Ministry of Testing. And welcome to episode 110 of This Week in Quality. It's a twig or treat special. It's Friday, the 31st of October, 2025. And welcome to my co-host, Demi. Demi, how are you doing?
Oh, I am amazing, especially after that wonderful intro. I believe that the comments are going wild.
Oh my goodness me. Yeah, I don't know who that was. I got this voice actor to come in and help out. So yeah, thanks. Yep, I'll see you soon. Yeah, just saying goodbye to them. So they're all good. Yeah, so, well, for those listening live, and also for those who are joining us via the podcast, for those who celebrate, happy Halloween. So have some fun today. And we got an opportunity to share some scary stories, right? I'm sure all of us have experienced some things in the workplace related to software testing and quality that have given us a bit of a fright, given us a scare. I think even before we went live, Demi, you mentioned that several emails had suddenly entered your inbox, and that was an instant kind of moment where you're like, oh, what's gone wrong here?
Yeah, it's usually when you suddenly notice like one specific group chat's going like off with all the notifications, or like suddenly a bunch of mails coming in, you're like, oh no, someone went and did something and we're trying to fix it now, but it's all good. It was a jump scare or something, man.
Yeah, not what you needed when you're just about to co-host an episode of This Week in Quality. But hey, nothing beats a good bit of timing. Talking of which, for those who are following along live, there is a challenge on the Ministry of Testing homepage. So do go check it out if you haven't seen it already. It's share a quality scary story in 10 words or less. So Rosie put it out earlier on today. There's a lot of fun entries coming through. We've got a post on LinkedIn as well. So people sharing their scary quality stories. We also have a club post on the go. So I'm going to share some links, as it's not possible for anyone else on this call to share links. For those who are following along live, I'm just going to pop those links into the audience chat. So do have a look and do add to them. But Demi, perhaps before we jump into the club post, which has got some very scary stories on it, and maybe for those who joined us today that have shared those scary stories, they could tell those stories live on stage a little bit later, but we'll get to that in a bit. But Demi, how about you fancy reading out some of the scary quality stories in under 10 words? Share a few in the audience today.
There's a good bunch already come in, but it's still going up even as we speak. But let's maybe start with once on LinkedIn. The of course, there's the first one that Rosie ever posted was, why didn't we think of that? Because of course, when suddenly you come up with a solution to all your problems, too late.
Classic. How many times? It's like, why didn't we think of that? Oh, why didn't we spot that? Or that would never happen. Classic. A classic.
Of course. And then we have from, I'm hoping, but I pronounced his name right, wrong branch deployed to production on a Friday evening. Oh no, can you just imagine?
Oh, yikes. That is scary. That's for sure.
And Nisha shared the ever common, it worked on my machine, which we all have worked at some point, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I think that reminds me, I need to go and check. I'm not looking at it now. I think we do have a t-shirt on the Ministry of Testing merch store that is like, works on my machine or doesn't work on my machine. I can't remember which way around it is, or maybe there's both. I should look up a link for that. But yes, that's it. Ah, I love it. That's a great one from Anisha.
And 80 Stokes shared. And then the product owner said, no, it'll be fine. Which I'm sure everyone is now imagining their own product owners saying the sentence. And all of us simultaneously face slapping, like, no. Let's see what else we have. Of course, the Ministry of Testing put the replies on their own posts, which is Motherverse 404. Oh no, Motherverse has been lost, which is, of course, the worst case scenario.
Oh boy. Yeah, that would be very scary indeed.
Fellow Kirkham shares, we'll get AI to write the test scripts, which is, of course, a common topic nowadays. Yeah, let's see what else do we got.
That's a brilliant one from Phil. Yeah. Lovely.
Mike Lee shared, a small change, no testing required, deploy to production.
Yes, of course, to ship it, right? We don't need any testing. Oh, yeah. Very scary indeed.
And of course, you also put one on there, Simon. I deleted my testing database, or was it prompt? And I couldn't help but just remember, like, only 2 weeks ago, I noticed that one of the devs had accidentally emptied the dev database again. And I was like, guys, who did this? And they all suddenly go quiet, and it might have been me.
Oh, that's such a painful feeling for if it does come down to an individual. I know, of course, we're a team and there's checks that should be in place for those kind of things. But when it really does come down to that individual, you're like, oh, I feel so, just the sinking feeling on their behalf. And if, of course, it is you that has made that mistake, it can feel very unfortunate. I'm hopeful, folks, these days are in an environment where these kind of mistakes are mitigated for, and if they happen, are easily rectified. But yes, that is scary. Deleting the wrong thing.
And on the Ministry of Testing post, we also got some replies. Some are double from LinkedIn, but still fun that that different people thought of the same thing. But for example, Eamon Droko shared, that'll probably be caught in testing, right?
That's brilliant from Eamon. It's that kind of like, right? The kind of nervous ambiguity of that question. Brilliant. I see Helene van Groeven works on my machine, and another classic there. That's brilliant. That seems to be a popular line in our industry, that's for sure.
I'm sure that it's not because just this week she had the same response from a dev. Definitely it's not the cause, I'm sure.
Nice. Well, the t-shirt is available. I've shared for those listening along live in the audience chat. A special gift for anyone, that one.
Yeah. But so for the people listening in, if you still got some more quality scare stories in 10 words or less, do go post them on the LinkedIn or the Ministry of Testing website. And maybe later on, I will read some more of them because I'm sure there's plenty more where that is.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we can build a whole book or database of these stories and perhaps what we can learn from them, or perhaps not what we can learn from them. We can just smile and share in the sort of similarities that we face as professionals, kind of the issues that we have to face, including from Helene mentioning in the chat now, I had to send the ticket back to development 4 times. Crikey, Helene. We have all been there. That feels very familiar. I remember some teams I have worked with in the past where it was a bit of ticket tennis, which is not so helpful. Oh, 80 Stokes on the chat. The bug appears in production every full moon. Oh, wow. Imagine that.
And then Stefan Newton replying, oh, that's just how it works. Not a bug, it's a feature. Of course, you don't have bugs.
I love it. That's just how it works. That's a classic. I see from Judy mentions, a dev I used to work with wouldn't say works on my machine. He would just post an image of a badge that said it for him. Even better. I love it. I love it. Oh, good times. Good times. Following these scary stories. Nice to get short, sharp ones as well. And on the club post, so I'm going to put the club post on the chat. If folks want to share a bit more of a detailed story that we can read out today, there's some good ones on there. And I guess, yeah, I can share the one I always comes to my mind when I think about scary stories. And it's one that still sticks with me to this day that I experienced. When I was on a team, there was two QAs back then. I was first person to join as the first tester in the team of developers. I think there was about 12 or 13 of them. And then I hired someone from a previous team I'd worked with. So the two of us were in. Our job was to help the team learn about testing and appreciate testing and get things set up. But back in them days, we were running regression checks. I guess we had a checklist. Every 2 weeks, we would put changes out to this very popular website based in the UK. And we were so used to running these regression checks ourselves, no level of automation. I think the engineers or devs were, they had some unit tests, but really it was proper spaghetti code and no other layers of testing that was automated or automated checks in place at all. So it was pretty scary, pretty messy. And myself and my colleague, we were so used to running this regression suite that we just didn't use the checklist anymore. We would just rattle through it. Yeah, ship it. It's good to go. Or we found a bug. And we had 1 week, the sales team who were in the office opposite ours. So we had the engineering team. We had the sales team in the other part of the office. We would never really interact with each other. It was classic, stereotypical. We're a bunch of techies. We can't talk to sales. And sales are like, we don't want to talk to the techies. Classic environment. And three of the salespeople, including the head of sales, burst in. And he was very angry and he had his pack of wolves following him. And he's like, what's going on? What's going on? We've just seen a huge drop in revenue. What's happened here? And everyone in the engineering team, we were looking around at each other. What's happened? What's happened? And they're like, look at the AdSense chart. It's dropped. What's gone on? And myself and my colleague, we looked at each other and were like, oh boy. I can see what's happened. All of the adverts on the site that are brought in through a third party had disappeared. And we just had not spotted it in our testing environment. We just hadn't spotted it. We were completely unaware that it was missing and that it wasn't therefore available in the production environment. So it was one of those deep feeling of kind of unease in your stomach where we had to admit, oh, really sorry, everyone, we missed this. And you might be thinking, well, hang on a minute, it's the team's fault and blah, 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 and the team should have fessed up. But back then, it was down to myself and my colleague to sign off the releases, and I'm glad things have changed. But what it did bring up in our post-mortem was the fact that we needed some automated checks, essential checks for stuff that are related to revenue and core to the business. So if anything, having such a catastrophic mistake and having the sales team come over and shout at us was, in a way, what kind of needed to happen in hindsight. And then we then went on a bit of a mission, and the developers got way more into automated testing, unit and integration level. Ended up hiring a team. We did front-end checks. It was just a lot more collaboration across the teams. So maybe it was partly down to that experience that we ended up turning a scary story into a good one. But boy, oh boy, at the time, it was a horrible feeling, as I'm sure our listeners today have had those moments where you think, oh, how did I do, Demi? Does that sound familiar? That kind of feeling of, oh, no.
Well, only, I believe, earlier this week, we have discovered a bug that had been in our application for 2 years now. But it appears that last month was the first time that the opportunity arose for the bug to come out. So we were like, oh, no.
Wow. So how many moons was that before it appeared?
Too many, I'm sure, but no. So it took a while for us to understand, but why didn't it work? And I, of course, when I got mail, I tried it myself. This doesn't seem to happen. And eventually I was able to replicate it. And I then went to some developers to have them investigate it and was like, yeah, someone just put this in wrong. They put the default value incorrect. And that's why. But so far, we never had a user select that one value that would require the default value to be selected.
Wow, it's amazing. I love it. And it makes you wonder across the world right now, how many of those bugs are just there, hiding, ready at some point over the coming years, they will reveal themselves and cause all sorts of trouble, but they're just sat there, minding their own business. Just like reading a newspaper or sipping a cup of coffee going, my time will come. Yes. Those bugs are there, everybody. We just need to find ways to discover them or let them sleep and feel okay letting them exist and hopefully not revealing themselves. As Judy shares in the chat, there be dragons. I love that. Talking of Judy shared a good story actually on one of the threads on the club, as did Gary Hawks. Now, we do want to invite people up on stage to come and share their stories. So Judy, if you are available, And if you're okay sharing, then you are more than welcome to join us on stage. So folks can click on, there should be a join the stage queue button that allows people to appear off stage. And when you click on that, it will open a new tab. Keep the new tab open, but close down the one that you came from, just to avoid some audio issues. We will see that people have joined backstage and we can bring you up on stage to share your story. So this could be a story as long as you want. It could be a short, sharp one. There's some questions as well. What tricked you this week? And what did you do that deserves a treat? We want to hear it all today. We want to hear your scary stories. And yeah, we can all share those with each other and celebrate and commiserate that we have to endure these scary stories. Wonderful. Well, I can see that Judy has joined us off stage. So Judy, I'm going to bring you on stage now. And it'd be great to hear from you.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hey. Yes, so I have a couple of stories, but I had an experience last night that I would rather share because, one, it might save somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
It was just awful. So basically, last night, we don't have our test suite in our CICD right now. So it's my job that when we're preparing for a deployment, we run the current code and staging. And I had so all the Cypress tests, the test suite that we have, everyone can run them locally. But I've had a suspicion that maybe one or two developers don't do that. But I don't know. I can't confirm. But when staging was ready to be tested and I ran the test suite, a third of my tests were failing, like so many tests. And which I consider myself a very curious person. I consider myself a very empathetic person. I didn't exactly go off. I sent a team alert out and I said, please run your Cypress test before merging to staging. Like, I have 46 tests that I'm going to have to go through. They're all broken. And then my manager was looking at them too. And it was the data test IDs that had been removed or changed, it's our touchstone, right? In automation, many people don't even use area labels because area labels can be changed, but then it's almost like a team agreement. Like, no one touches the data test IDs. And so I was feeling frustrated and overwhelmed, and it was already 5 o'clock, and one of the developers hopped on and he said, because we determined that it might be because of the MUI upgrade. There's been a recent large upgrade to MUI or MUI. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. We call it MUI at my organization. And the developer hopped on and he said, yeah, I ran the test suite. I put an image of everything passing in the PR. And then my manager did some investigating. And what the latest change that MUI does is they will keep the data test IDs locally. So all your tests pass, but in a production environment, they remove them. And so now granted, this wasn't production that we were testing on, but we have staging set as production. And so the link that Demi posted, that is someone asking to be opted out of removing the data test IDs because it was MUI's fault. But I felt so bad because I assumed it was my team that did it. And so I went to the developer and I apologized. And he was like, no, that's a natural assumption. But oh, what a mess. And what a poor idea. What a bad idea. So it's just a mess. But I wanted to share this story because if anyone is considering upgrading to MUI, understand that this could happen to you. And if this saves anybody any team tension, because there was team tension yesterday And I hate that because there didn't need to be. So messy.
I have to say, Yuri, I've only last week started, I wrote my first front end test automation. So I can now feel your pain because I need to wake a whole afternoon or something trying to figure out the best locator because they didn't put test ID on all the buttons. And I just wanted that one button and they didn't have a test ID and I need to figure out how to miss it now. And yeah. The problem was that it was part of a grouping of buttons, but not in every occasion will it be the same buttons appearing. So I couldn't say it's the third button because it might be in another test, it would be the second one or the fifth one.
Exactly.
So I can now feel your pain in those IDs not being there.
Yeah, they're so necessary. And yeah, it is. There have been issues in the past where some developers have changed them. And I knew they didn't run the test suite because it's okay. You change things and things happened. And hey, just ask for help. It's okay if tests are broken. I really try to push for an environment where people can ask for help. And yeah, but for me to blame people when it wasn't their fault, I hated that.
Well, we're grateful for you and your cautionary tale there, Judy. But yikes, can only imagine how, yeah, as you described how you felt about, no, it was Mui. It was Mui. You're shaking your fist in the air. Mui. Mui. I'm sure there's a meme in that somewhere.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I may need to make one after this. So that's my scary tale for today.
Oh, wow, Judy. Well, thank you for sharing with us today. We're very grateful. You joining us up on stage. Do stick around. It's always lovely to hear from you. And I think Gary Hawkes was in the audience. I believe he might still be. Yes, I can see some emoji reactions coming through from Gary. I wonder, Gary, if you are available and it's okay with you to jump on stage and share your story, because the way you described it on the club, you said the following: I can't get scarier than this. Prepare yourself for a tale of horror and despair. And boy, oh boy, what you shared on the club is scary stuff. And I'd love to hear that story from your good self, Gary. But if you aren't available, no worries. We can read it out loud to today's audience. But Gary, if you can hear me and you can find the join the stage button, we shall wait for you to do that. Gary, we can see you. We can see you're off stage. So I'm going to bring you on stage now. Here we go.
How you doing?
Very well, thanks, Gary. Thank you for joining us. How are things with you? Twick or treat?
Yeah, trick or treat. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Well, there's so much about this particular story that I'd have to cut it short because there's so many different aspects of it. And I'll try and give you one additional aspect of it when I go through the main bit. But yeah, it was huge. So over 10 years ago, I was with a company. It was developing a case custody crime and intelligence management product for police. Yes, police. And so they, and we'd put the sort of technical directive was, hey, do you know the police force have got all these licenses to Microsoft Dynamics that they don't know, and we could really ship a really cheap product to them. So that was the architected decision made by the CTO. So no one did any kind of prep for what's the right architecture to use and what's the right technology to use. It was basically chosen for us. And obviously it's like before quality engineering or the kind of concepts that we know now. So the devs and the architects went away while the testers were just doing other things until they come up with and started to develop their product. And then when they had something to test, they'd let us know. So when we got into testing it, so this kind of process went on for about 3 years. We were finding bugs left, right, and center. And it was every time you tested anything, it was finding bugs. And the user experience, that's the one thing I'll give you, user experience was absolutely dire. So if you can imagine a kind of a user experience when you're talking to a product manager of booking someone into custody and on the product, you've given them basically 15 pages by pages to go through to book someone into custody when you understand that the custody sergeant, there's only one person who's in custody and he's booking in a criminal who may not sit still. So the whole process was like flawed. So it could take a custody sergeant like probably even longer or substantially longer to get through the system to get someone into custody. So that's like the kind of one of the aspects of so many on there. But as you went through time, we also, the urgency of this product grew because big corporate giant bought us on the strength of this product because they saw, yeah, they just saw the front end and thought it looked pretty and went, yeah, this is something that we could do well with if we buy this company. So they bought the company. And so then they started to invest more money. So the teams got bigger. And obviously, as the teams got bigger, we could produce bugs quicker as well. And we got to like backlog bugs of 2,000 or over 2,000. When we were trying to do automated tests, we could never, it was really difficult to find a test that would actually pass. So it was almost like, you know, the kind of exploratory testers and testers were, and the automated testers were almost like working independently because they had their own problems. And it got such point. And then one of the automated tests that we ran, it would create a custody record and save it. And I had evidence and back to truck manager over to show him. So I've saved this product, this custody record, and it's returned someone else's record that the guy was working on across the office. And there was just no explanation for it. And this is not good. This is really bad. So then at the end of that, then I was giving them because I was the manager of the team and the team had gone from like about 5 to like about 13 testers. And we were all saying the same thing. And like the automated tests at its best got to a 40% pass rate, but usually it was in the 20s. But they'd already committed to give it to 2 police forces. And so off they did. They went and give it to 2 police forces in that state. And so we just did what anyone should do in that situation. We're talking to each other and just one by one, each person started to leave.
Yeah.
We just knew, yeah, this is not going to be good for anyone. And obviously at the end of that, the company got smaller, not through redundancies, but through people leaving. But when the corporate giant started to realize this wasn't working from the customer feedback, then they let the company shrink. And then anyone that was left, they moved them to another division. And that office is now sitting in my hometown of Bury St Edmunds with weeds growing in it. It's fenced off. It's got 3 floors and no one's using it. And like I said at the end of my article, if you go past that building, you can still hear the screams of the testers who were using it at the time. So much to learn, like out of that crisis. Is I think like the kind of lesson there is you as like being in this profession, you swore from that point, I would never get anywhere near this kind of catastrophe again. So it made you, or made me definitely, a far better advocate for quality and far more vocal at the beginning and us getting earlier involvement and so on than before. But yeah, there's my tale of woe. Hope it doesn't give anyone nightmares.
I am not sleeping tonight, Gareth.
It's fascinating. Given the context of who you were developing for as well, it's just, like, it's so scary. It's so scary what you described on so many levels. It really is.
But rest assured, no police force is using this. Don't worry. No one's using it. It went about 10 years ago. So you're fine.
They're all safe. They're all good. Poof. Lucky, I can sleep well tonight then, Gary. Thanks. But the kind of metaphor of the building as well, I think, adds an element to the story, as unfortunate that is, because I do wish buildings that are left like that could be used for other good things. But the fact it's dilapidated and there's weeds growing over it, it's like a time forgotten. Yeah. This place exists, yet that, as you say, you can still hear the screams. Wow, what a story, Gary. I mean, that is just go down in history as one incredible story. And as you say, like, so many lessons can come from that. I wonder, it would be interesting maybe if you do get the chance to reconnect with some of those folks who were part of it, and maybe they could each form their own story. And this is, it could be a book. It could be a fascinating book pieced together.
That's a cracking idea. That is. I'll think about it.
Yeah, it'd be fun. It'd be interesting to get their take on things and where everyone has gone since and how that impacted, because clearly it had an impact on you and your career and go, never again, I'm now going to be an advocate and good things can happen and your career changed considerably from what I can gather.
Yeah.
So it's through these nightmare situations or scenarios or stories that, yeah, we can improve.
Definitely.
Wow. Well, thank you, Gary, for joining the stage and sharing that one. Whew. Good luck sleeping, everyone. That is full of nightmares. Demi, anything in the chat that you've spotted coming through that we would like to call out?
The chat is going absolutely crazy. So I saw some more 20-word scare stories, like one from Edie Stokes. The fix worked, but everything else is broken.
Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And then, of course, because I briefly mentioned having trouble with locators, I got some help in the chat from people like, oh, Demi, you can use Selectors Hub, or you can just go add the test IDs yourself. Well, thank you for all the help, even though that wasn't the topic at all, but I love the support from the community.
I'll just add to that, Demi, that is brilliant. In an episode where we're talking about nightmare stories, we are still up for helping each other out. That really shows strength of this awesome community. So, yeah. Kudos that we're up for sharing advice and recommendations. It's wonderful. But yes, please continue.
Well, I saw the Richard out of the story, and it was like there were strange hardware failures for some units at the same location, and they didn't really know why. But it was apparently they were watching the unit for hours, and then suddenly they saw the cleaner come in to unplug the rack to vacuum. And no, that's why everything stopped working.
That's amazing. Oh, I love it. That's a classic. Thank you for sharing that, Richard.
Yes. And I think we got some more additions as well to the post on LinkedIn and emoji. So let's see what we've got. Disaster recovery tested. The restore was validated on an empty database. So the test to see if they could recover all the data after a disaster was done on an empty database, and it worked. So that's one.
Brilliant.
The VP tried it at the meeting, caching error. Yeah, that is usually what happens when you try it live in meetings in a demo. Let's see, what else do we have? They thought they didn't need any testers. They were wrong. Okay.
Good year.
what sounds like a good beginning of a story.
Okay. Yeah. Be curious to know how that worked. Yeah, what happened? I want to hear more of that story.
I also saw one in the club post where they decided that they would also share the 20 words or less stories and things in between. And there is one here that was like, they were investigating a support case and asked to change a setting and so they could get fresh logs. Then they were told that it's not possible because the kit was now hidden in a person's house. You don't know. Then we did that, but apparently the kits that could reset the configs and everything was specifically hidden at one person's house instead of available to everyone.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating.
And I also believe I saw one somewhere about, you don't have to test that edge case. The users won't actually do that. And I was like, oh. They're underestimating the users severely.
The edge case. And Judy, you absolutely cracked me up with your title for the next horror movie coming out in 2026. It's called The Cleaner.
I hate whenever you find an edge case, but you have to take 26 steps to get there, and then you send it to the developer and it's, I'm sorry, but this is how to reproduce it. And please be willing to work with me tomorrow. Because sometimes the edge cases can be so wild. Yeah. But thankfully I've been able to remain friends with most of the devs I've worked with. Most. Fair.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. When do edge cases get edgier?
I don't know.
Maybe there's something in that. Great stuff. Okay. Well, let's just do a quick time check. So we've got another 15 or so minutes to go. So if you are in the audience right now and you're listening in live, first of all, thanks for being part of Twick or Treat. And yeah, please do join us on stage. There's an opportunity to pop on up and share a story. Perhaps something has tricked you this week that you want to share and you could get some advice on. Or maybe you've done something really cool that you think, you know what, I want to share that and it deserves a treat. You are most welcome to join us up on stage and to share your tricks or your treats today. Yeah, please do join us. In the meantime, folks can keep sharing stuff live in the chat if you don't want to join us on stage or aren't in a position to do so. Lots of good stuff coming through. A saying from Stephen Newton. I always use a saying, if it can be done, it will be done. Nice. I like it. That's definitely a t-shirt that you might want to get yourself there, Stephen. I like it. It's like a mantra. You could say, repeat back. It can be done. It will be done. And that's maybe the opening scene to The Cleaner.
That's not enough. Now we've started a whole movie script as well. I mean, that's...
Yes. Exactly.
But maybe 80s Tooks will add something to that script because he has now joined the stage as well. So maybe Simon can push the button to get him on stage and see what scary stories 80 has in store for us.
Hello, spooky humans.
Hello, spooky humans. I like it. Good to see you, 80. Thanks for all the puns so far. I've been wonderful, as always.
I'm doing my best. I was very disappointed in you, Simon. I was fully expecting a... laugh at the end of that audience.
Well, I was so close to doing it. I thought, I just can't get myself, or the voice actor that we got in to do that. I think it cost a bit extra, but there we go.
Oh, I've got some dirty laughs in me, so I can always do it for free.
Wonderful, buddy.
Excuse me. I'm still getting over a bit of a cold. I had to give a presentation yesterday, so that was a bit of a horror story. I had to stop halfway through and mute myself to blow my nose. But that's not the horror story I've got. I was using, let's say, an unnamed helper for emails to test password reset system and registration system. And to this day, I do not know what I did, but I wanted to test essentially that it used this link for rechecking it. And I set the test up. I followed all the instructions as far as I'm aware. I got to doing the deed. I pressed the button. And I got an email in my inbox and I was really happy for 2 seconds. Because then I got another email and then I got another dozen email. And then my inbox said I had 176 unread emails and it just kept going to the point that I was trying to click on to see if they were all the same email and my screen was going slower and slower. And I ended up turning, essentially it was the Outlook app on a Windows machine. I ended up turning it off and on again to see if that had helped. And by the time I'd turned it back on again, I was over 2,000 emails. But it took a good 2 minutes for it to load to tell me that. While that was going on, I was in the email helper tool trying to work out what was going on in there. And he said, everything's fine. It was like that little dog in that burning room. This is fine. There's nothing going on, nothing to see. Or who's the other? Leslie Nielsen in front of the firework factory. Nothing to see. Nothing to see here. And to this day, I have no idea what happened. But apparently, I didn't just do it to myself. It sent it to everybody who had set up in the team to get emails. So about 2 or 3 minutes in to this panic I was in, other people were saying to me, what have you done, Eddie? I'm getting loads of emails. And I went, no, I'm trying to sort it. And we literally had to unplug the tool and disconnect it. And that's the only way we could stop it. And I tried to turn it back on and get it up and running again. And it would have, it just kept sending emails. We talked to the vendor. And they had no idea why it was doing it, but they said it was an interesting case they would look into, and they never got back to us. So the moral of the story is, just put a plus one on your email if you want to censor that. It's much easier to control than using a tool that is only half works and they don't know what's wrong with it when it's coming wrong. You've got hell. It was literally the most panic day I've ever had as a tester when something's gone wrong. And I'm quite known for things. We had a power cut at work, and literally within 2 seconds of the power going off, my mate, who's a developer, stood up and said, "Eddie, what have you done?" So, yeah, that's my testing horror story. Is that pretty much the worst one I've got? Because I didn't leave it down for months. And it literally got stickers on my screen going, "You've got mail." It wasn't the 90s. It was rather the 90s. But, yeah, I had stickers on my thing going, "You've got mail." And I had envelopes left on my desk.
Wow.
And stuff, yeah. So they took the mickey out of me for months afterwards. It was all lighthearted. Like, I wasn't really stressed or bullied or anything. But I did feel very guilty at the time. And, yeah, very stressed.
Oh, I bet you did, AD. A sickening feeling, right? When that starts to happen and it's not stopping and it keeps coming. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Appreciate you sharing that. That is one heck of a horror story. It really is.
To put it into context, because it's All Hallows Eve, the rise of the zombie emails.
Beautiful. That's a great one. Oh, lots of good stuff. Wow. That is... Ah, yeah, I can completely understand. I'm thinking I've triggered some email nightmares before in my time as well. So I'm totally hearing you, AD, when that happens. It's not a nice feeling, particularly as... sometimes not possible to turn that stuff off.
I've thought of another one.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Mailnado.
Keep them coming, AD. Keep them coming.
I'll keep reading. Night of the Living Email.
Oh, lovely. And Gary and Judy and Demi, of course, feel free to jump on in if there's any more titles coming your way or if you have any reflections of AD's story that you want to share as well.
I do have the image when Harry Potter first receives like the invitation, isn't it in the first movie where he receives like the invitations or some, I see an image of him and all these letters are just falling. And yeah, I get the similar image of AD just being just covered in emails. He can't make them stop.
Only more than, yeah, than Harry Potter one. Yep.
And he opens the door, like more emails come through. But the fact that they went to other people, I wouldn't mind it happening to myself, but the fact that it went to other people, oh, that just feels 10 times worse.
That feels, honestly, my one was scary, but everyone, especially in the testing, felt the same. For you to be the one that's responsible for all of those mails gone, I don't think anyone, I think you're very lucky to have such understanding people around you. Because I'm not sure I would have got a lot more sympathy from if I'd have done that anywhere. So, yeah, that is a very scary one. Yeah.
Yes. Oof. Wow. So a few more coming through on the chat. Stephen Newton sharing another one. I've been there also, testing a notification that accidentally spammed the client's SLT with dozens on mails each hour. And I didn't know they were getting them out of UAT until the client complained. Oh, that's a shocker for you, Stephen. I'm sorry you had to experience that. DL shares, some time ago, I realized after a full day of regression testing that the new version hadn't been released to the pre-live test environment I was using. I felt so dumb. Fortunately, the devs helped me catch up and redo the test plans. So it's a sweet end of the story. Oh, I'm glad to hear the team jumped on in and helped their DL. Thank you for sharing that. Wow, these stories, they are scary quality stories, that's for sure. Yeah, feel free for those who are on stage right now, if you have any more, jump on in. Otherwise, we have about 5 or so minutes if anyone else would like to join us and share their scary quality story. What has tricked you this week? Maybe what is something that you did that deserves a treat? Now is your time to jump on stage and let us know.
Well, we do have someone waiting off stage for us, so maybe we can get them on stage.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
All
right.
Yeah, I can see that now. My live horror story is I didn't see the scroll bar that would suggest that we do have Helene waiting off stage. So I'm going to do that now. Here we go.
When I did last minute think of a scary story that very fortunately did not happen to me, but is a very great example of why you don't test in production. So a few jobs back, I worked with the alert system, the national alert system, in case something goes wrong, in case there's flooding or fire or whatever. And the way it would work is that if something happened, you'd send out an email or text message to people. And there was testing platform for this, which you could use and try to set up campaigns or stuff. And someone made two mistakes. So I said you could send out an email or a text, but there was also an option to actually call people. Like people could have, they could receive an actual phone call about this. So this person, first of all, didn't log into the test system, but logged into the production system. And then instead of sending a text message, she called, I think, approximately 100,000 people at the same time at 8 p.m.
Wow. Oh my goodness me.
So this was being told as a horror story, and I felt so bad for this person and was so happy it never happened to me. But I always double check now to see that I'm in the test system.
Crikey. That is wild. Oh, that must have been such a sickening feeling. Some bad happened. Wowee. Yes, the test check environment that you're in. Oh my goodness me. Indeed.
It reminds me of, I believe a few months ago, there was a developer that had accidentally sent in a request to drop the entire database in production. And fortunately, all the security measures were in place to prevent this, but he didn't look down for a few weeks that whenever someone would do a request for something to be done, like, you don't drop the database, right?
Of course. I got a feel for that person who, yeah, can imagine, didn't live that down for a while. Oh, that's tough. Wow, these have certainly been some scary stories, that's for sure. We should keep on coming. I'm sure there's lots we can learn from those stories, and also just to hear them reiterating that we're not alone, that things can happen, right? And we are there to look out for each other and to help perhaps mitigate some of these things happening. With some great stories and advice. Indeed. Okie dokes. Well, there's some brilliant film ideas coming through on the chat. Email dead3, don't open the attachment. Nice one, AD. We've got Judy sharing the silence of the emails. Yeah. Wonderful. Oh, well, keep them coming, I say. We should probably set up a thread, or even if people want to hijack one of the other threads that are going on and share these movie puns, they are more than welcome to, that's for sure. Great. Well, I think, Demi, should we wrap up today's episode? What do you reckon?
Yes, definitely. So first of all, thank you everyone for sharing your stories, both in the chat and on the stage and in the fan club and on LinkedIn and my MOT memories, because we're in so many places now, it's hard to keep track. But do keep them coming. We would love to read more and to laugh some more about all the fun puns that you guys all put in, or to horror with all your scary quality stories. So go check those out everywhere and add what you can if you want. We would love to hear more of all those things, definitely. And other than that, I would say hope to see you guys next week, or here in Game Price next week, in This Week in Quality.
Absolutely, folks. Big thanks to those joining the stage. It's been lovely to hear from you today. And for everyone active in the chat, do head over to ministryoftesting.com. The homepage updates regularly with all sorts of stuff happening in the Motiverse. And do sign up for the newsletter. If you don't subscribe to that, that's a good way to stay connected. Go to ministryoftesting.com/newsletter. Otherwise, well, enjoy the rest of your day and have a lovely weekend. And we'll speak to you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye.